Hello, everybody out there in Taxiland. This is the Mike and Abe show, and Mike just woke up, and I'm still asleep, but we'll try to do a show for you today. Okay.
We do our best shows when we're unconscious.
I know, Mike. Have you seen the New York Post for today?
No, I have not. I'm afraid to look.
Actually, it was yesterday's New York Post. It's dated October 14th. There's an article here. It says, investors see opportunity as taxi medallion prices bottom out. Okay? And basically what it's saying is that they believe that the city council will step in and help the medallions recover. And as a result, the vultures are circling around and buying up medallions.
There you go. These are the medallions that are worthless. These are the worthless medallions that everybody wants to run to now.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to happen, you know, and happening right after de Blasio is getting in to stride to get reelected, because the Republican Party is a freaking joke. And now there's some people on the city council who are cab haters, in my opinion, who are leaving. So we finally get some traction on this crazy thing to get back in business. And that's good news for a change.
Yeah, so let me read a little bit of this article. It's up on our website, the NYC Taxi News, and it's in the New York Post, okay? Hurry up and buy New York City taxi medallions as they are still dirt cheap because a turnaround is likely coming. That's the
Who put that, you?
This is what the newspaper says, okay?
Oh, which newspaper?
The New York Post.
Oh, that's pretty good. Okay, so there you go.
That's the contention of some industry observers and investors who have seen medallion prices crater as ride-hailing apps like Uber and Lyft have come to the scene. Okay?
That's pretty. I like that. Yeah. Crater, indeed.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a fancy word for this, okay? Taxi enthusiasts say now is the time to buy a medallion, since prices have crashed and bargain-hunting hedge funds are already jumping in. Okay, and then it goes, at a recent auction in Queens, 46 medallions were reportedly sold for an average price of $186,000. The winning bidder was a Connecticut-based hedge fund, which is expected to lease the medallions to a fleet owner. Okay, the industry is also...
Okay, the plot thickens,
Right. The industry is also anticipating city government actions that might help boost the value of medallions. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think the prices for medallions have bottomed out, says Andrew Merstein, president of the taxi lender Medallion Financial. It is just a matter of time before people get confidence in the taxi system. New York City is going to survive, said Matthew Douse, a former longtime commissioner and chairman of the TLC. Right. These hedge fund guys bought because it was a bargain, he said.
What I think is happening is whoever bought these medallions is going to get the deal of a century, because that's what happened the last time these medallions were cheap. You got in cheap, you did okay. And some of the guys who unfortunately got screwed by the city of New York were the people who bought $900,000 medallions, and then the great word is cratered down to whatever it is, maybe 300 or two. I think the buyer of these 46 medallions at auction got a great deal because you're buying in bulk. I mean, do you really, as a auction person or someone who's selling, want to deal with 46 people and 46 bids and maybe 500 bids for, and blah, blah, blah? Or if you see somebody walk through your door with a certified check for about $9 million, you know, I'm guessing you just don't want the aggravation. You take the bird in the hand and the $9 million and goodbye. So, but for the layperson on the street, it's a good thing, because I think the yellow cab business will survive. And I got all these people in the cab asking me questions about what do you think about Uber? So I'm guessing the investors, and call me paranoid, I've been called worse. I think the investors have little street teams of people coming into cabs, asking cabbies what they think about Uber, because it's gotten to the point where it's not a coincidence. And I think Uber people are worried about Uber because the cab is coming back. And the cab is coming back. And I told the one person in the cab the other day, guy, I said, what do you do? He was asking me, how much do you make driving a cab? Which I think is a really personal question. So I said, I do okay.
Yeah.
You know, the guy's got $8 on the meter. He wants to know how much I make driving a cab. the nerve. I mean, who are these people?
Well, I would ask them, how much do you make at what you do?
Yeah, he said, well, I do medical billing. I said, yeah, how do you do with it? He said, I do okay. So what do you mean okay? As I said, I said, what do you mean okay? And he gave me a look. Yeah, it's like, so he could ask the cab driver, how much do you make a week? I mean, I don't know who the guy works for. It's like, well, how much do you make with this medical billing stuff? You make like $50,000, $100,000? You know, because I do want to get paid.
Well, why don't you just tell these people that you make, $1,000 a day, okay?
Yeah.
And right. then they'll be happy, okay?
Right. Exactly. I make $1,000 a day. That's why I'm still driving.
Yeah.
$1,000 a day, we'd be having champagne parties for De Blasio. We'd be dressed in togas when we drive. But the point is, you get these people asking about Uber. The only thing really that makes me crazy with Uber is the $50 guys who drive for Uber. These are the people who are on some kind of weird thing where they can't make more than 50 or 100 bucks a day. So they go out, they work a few hours, clog up the streets like crazy. They buy their little black Camry cars. They go out to make $50 for their pocket or $70 because they can't make more than that because they probably get goodies from the city. And they just block up the streets like crazy. I mean, that's the worst part with me is just the glut of needless cars and pollution and aggravation. You can't even move. And they all come into Times Square. They go real slow looking at their app, not even looking at the road, looking at their app, waiting for it to beep or the call. I said, listen, why don't you just park? Just go over to the side of the road and park the car. And somebody said, no, what they want to do, they want to go slow so they can block the traffic and run up the surge pricing. So I see that would not be insane for me to believe because I see at LaGuardia, it's a blockade of these Uber cars at the main terminal. They're not picking up anybody. They're supposed to be in the lot, and they're driving 5 miles an hour through the terminal just real, real slow. And somebody told me they try and pump up the surge by intentionally driving slow to make their traffic horrible. And the Port Authority police should look at this and start locking people up. They listen, you get out of here. Scat. And some of these guys, and by the way, there's been a couple of press things where they say, oh, today a taxi driver crashed over taxi. I say, no. It's not a taxi. It's a non-yellow that crashed. They keep jumping into taxi crash. It's not a taxi crash because yellow cabs, for the most part, don't have crashes anymore because we're very safe and we're broke. So we're just defeated. So we don't drive reckless. I guess that's a psych 101, but whenever the news says a taxi crash, you dig deeper, it's not a taxi crash. And a lot of times it turns out to be a taxi crash because some drunk has slammed into the cab. But the thing that makes me crazy with Uber, they're not professional drivers. I don't even think they have licenses. I think their friends just give them the phones. They have all these little street deals where guys are running Uber cars off the street. They take up every single freaking parking space in Queens with Uber cars all over the street. So that's supposed to be on the street. So those, besides the money thing from being ripped off, those are the intangibles on the side. The traffic glut of this massive swarm of Uber cars, they take up all the residential parking spaces, and the drivers, a lot of them, are just illegal. I mean, they don't even have a TLC license or regular license. Their friend gives them the Uber phone, and there's no checks and balances for any of that. So I hope when Comrade Bill de Blasio gets reelected, there will be something to keep these lunatics in check. I mean, you know, there's, like you were saying a while back, I'm going to jump back to you, about the cap on the Uber cars. Tell the folks who are rookies to the show the benefit of the cap on the yellow cab and why there should be a cap on the Uber car. Go ahead.
Well, the benefit of the cap on the medallion taxis is what gives it value, okay? Because, you know, when there's only a limited amount that are out there, then there's a price on getting into the market, okay?
Right.
All right.
How long has this been in place? Since 1937, right?
Yeah, that would be 70-something years. I don't know.
80
years, yeah, 80 years. It's been in place. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, look, in the beginning, the streets were, you know, according to history, the streets were loaded with taxis more than was needed because during the Depression, people took their cars out and, you know, all they had to do was sign, you know, I guess buy a license from the city, since it's operated for
Right.
whatever it was, $1.50, I don't know. Okay, and these cars were clogging up the streets, okay, of
Right.
Manhattan, okay, and I guess the boroughs also. So the city council, the aldermen, as they were called at that time, okay,
Alderman, yes.
Alderman Hass, right? You know, was his name. I don't know his first name. Okay, he introduced the
Hass,
bill.
HAAS, the Hass
Yeah,
Act.
the Hass Act. He introduced a bill to limit the number of taxi cabs, to cap them, okay, to what was out there at the time. It was 14,000 something, and after they were capped, some of the guys fell off because they still weren't making enough money. Okay, and it came down to 13,787, where it stayed for 60, 70 years. Okay,
The number of cabs, you mean? The
yeah,
number of cabs.
right. But the taxis had the taxi medallion, you know, was given its value then, because and it kept rising as others wanted to get into the market. They had to buy an existing medallion, okay, due to the cap. All right. So, you know, it gave equity to the people that owned the medallions, okay, and theoretically, it still exists, okay, but with these Uber cars, you know, running wild all over the place and increasing their numbers into the trillions, okay, I think there's a trillion of them out there right now, right?
Buck
Okay,
wild, they're running buck wild in the
yeah.
streets.
Okay. Well, anyway, by capping the if you cap the these FHVs, okay, which I said many, many years ago they should do that. Okay, you can't just have an unlimited number of for hire vehicles out there when the taxis are capped. Okay, you know it's getting around the law. Okay, and
Now, let's put it this way.
right.
If you had invited Chairperson Yoshi, and all of a
Yeah.
sudden here you are, you're front and center of the chairperson of the TLC, what would you tell her in like 1 minute about what the problem is? Or do you think she knows what the problem is and just doesn't care?
She knows what the problem is, and she claims that there's nothing she can do about it.
Oh,
Okay?
my God.
All right, that the laws,
Nothing she can do about it.
that's what she told the city council. Okay, that you know
That's complete nonsense.
the laws for the for hire vehicles aren't capped, you know, and anyone that applies for a license, if they qualify to have a license, that they have to issue it, okay,
Well,
which
no. Well, then she could change the qualifications for a license. Wouldn't that be the reflexive thing that the TLC to change their qualifications for
well
driving these
then
cars?
the
Like, okay,
question
you can
is
have that car.
well then the question is, does she have that power to change the qualifications, or does she need the city council to step in?
Oh man. But
Okay.
I don't want to sound whatever, but she really, what a disaster she is slash was slash. I'm not hoping she's the first to go when de Blasio gets reelected. She's just been such a mess. I mean, she's done nothing. There's no fare increase. With the economic review, we're still waiting for something to be said about the economic review that was in April. What does she do all day long? What does this woman do? I mean, honestly,
Well,
I
you're
don't
gonna
want to
have.
sound misogynist or
I
woman
know.
hater or whatever, but what does she
Yeah.
do?
Well, I guess
Honest to God.
you're gonna have to ask her what she does. Okay?
I'm going to have to ask her.
Because,
I mean,
yeah.
I'll have to go say,
Right.
excuse me, what exactly, can I ask you something? What do you do? That'll be my question, you know.
Perhaps she works on all of these cockamamie rules that she wants to, get past. I don't know. You know, what's the latest? I guess they're working on the wheelchair mandate for FHVs, which would help. Okay, but we really need is for elimination of some of these cars that are clogging up the streets. Okay, and there's really no argument anymore about what's clogging up the streets. Okay,
It's the
you know.
blunt, what she could have done. She goes, "There's nothing I can do." That's BS. She could have got in front of the press on the steps of City Hall, say, "Listen, we're hamstrung. The children are dying. There's too much pollution. There's too much traffic. We have to ask New York State to stop, you know, poisoning our children. She could have done that. She could have gone on the TV and done the morning talkers and said all this stuff about how we need to rein in the glut of cars that have been swarming into the city. There's everything she could do, and she did zero. And like I said, you know what she could do at this stage of the game? She could sign a sworn statement that says she won't go to work for Uber when she quits the TLC. All right? How about that? She could do that. She could do that of her own accord. So in the spirit of fair play.
That, but what's compelling her to do that?
What's that?
She can do that, yes, but what is compelling her to do it?
Well, right now, nothing. I mean, there's no one or nothing compelling her to take a sworn oath not to work for Uber for 3 years. I'll give her 3 years, all right?
Uh-huh.
Well, and I think they should do that with all the TLC personnel.
Yeah.
With these people working for TLC with their weird rules, and then all of a sudden they go work for Uber, our arch rival. What the hell is that?
Well, you know, they claim that that their governance is over all of the for-hire industry, including the Ubers and the Yellows and anyone that's licensed by the TLC. Okay, so so you know, what's to stop her from saying I won't work for the Yellow industry either? You know.
Well, thank God. I'll open the champagne.
You know, she shouldn't be hired. She shouldn't be able to work for any part of the industry once she's out of office. Okay,
right.
None of the commissioners. Not just her. You know, anyone that's employed by the governance of the industry shouldn't be able to work for the industry for at least 5 years. Okay.
Correct. This is correct.
Yeah. So, you know, that's just our opinion, and, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, that should be etched in stone, but, but it just makes sense in our opinion.
In our opinion and with all due respect.
Right. With all due respect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of like when we argue. We argue all the time, you and me. We're pals when we argue all the time.
Yeah.
But now the other thing I was looking at, as it's very busy, and I'm driving to California for $10 with the meter. Two things. First of all, the people who poo-pooed the fare increase, that was ridiculous. Because I sent in a nice little proposal of a fare increase for the drivers, and they didn't award a fare increase because they look at it every 2 years. What the hell is that? I mean, a couple of people said, you're not going to get a fare increase in an election year. Oh, yeah? Well, it seems to me everybody's getting paid except the cabbies, and it seems historically there's a conspiracy to keep cab drivers poor. And I think it's time to draw a line in the sand. The last guy who gave us a fare increase for everybody was Matt Doss. And he gave a nice fare increase
true.
For drivers.
That's not true, Mike. Mike, that's not true.
What's that?
It was actually David Yaski. In 2012. Okay.
What did he do?
He allowed a fare increase, okay, in 2012. It happened in September of 2012.
And before the auction.
I don't know. The auctions came after that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we don't know what his motivation was. We just know that he said, it's time for the... I remember his words was, it's time to give these guys an increase. Okay, now this was before Uber made their big move. Okay.
Yeah.
And I believe that it was at that time of the increase when they removed the rates from the doors. Okay.
Oh my God. So that's another thing. That's your happy place is the rates on the doors. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Tell the people about the rates on the doors.
They're not there.
That's
what more is there to say? I mean, there was no logical reason for removing them after 77 years that they were on the doors. Okay.
Yeah.
Even longer. You know, they may have been on the doors even before the Hatch Act. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, to me, that's like a slap in the face, saying, you know, we're not going to let people know what you charge until they get in, so that others can claim that they could charge less, which is what happens, you know, in the hotels, you know, with the black cars, real and phony. Okay, and the doorman saying, "Oh, you don't want to take a yellow cab. They charge too much. You want to take a, you want to take. I have a car for you. It's only $85 to LaGuardia."
Exactly. Exactly. Right. So it's hustler friendly.
It's hustler friendly, right? Exactly. And even at the airports, you know, I mean, people come from who knows where, you know. They don't know what they're getting into when they get into a yellow cab. They have the right to see the price before you enter the cab, just as there are laws. You know, when you go into a restaurant, they have to post their menu in the window.
You got it. You
okay.
Got it.
All right. And I love that. When I go to a restaurant, I look at the menu in the window, and I know whether I can afford to eat in this joint. Okay.
Right. Like when you go into Danielle, when you used to take lunch in the Danielle on the 64th Street and Park, what'd you pay, like $400?
I don't know this restaurant. Where is it, 64th and Park?
Best restaurant in the city. I got a Danielle story. Can I tell a quick Danielle story?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I got to get back to this because we're talking about the fares of those. I remember one time I picked up like this drunk guy, I think it was South American, and a really like hot young woman, looked like half his age. And so they're talking. It was nice of him to take his daughter out to see the city. And then they start canoodling in the back. And so me being nosy, I have to listen to what the conversation is. So it turns out he met her at the bar. And, you know, they've got a couple of drinks. And he's hammered. And she's not that hammered. But she knows what she's doing. And the thing comes out that, you know, she's new in town. And he's new in town. We should get together, blah, blah, blah. So he goes, okay, well, where do you want to go to eat? He goes, oh, I don't know. There's a place on the east side that's very good. It's called, I think it's called Danielle. I was like, Danielle. And I was trying to shoot the guy a look. I said, listen, man, Danielle, if dinner for two is usually about $350, and if you get a bottle of wine, it's another $400. So you get out of there with $1,000 for dinner for two. That's the nice place you want to go to eat. Uh-huh. So I'm trying to, like, wink and wave the guy and say, listen, you might need a reservation. I don't know if I can get there. So then what happened? I go across the park, and I missed it. I went to 62nd Street instead of 64th Street. All of a sudden, her Ivy League accent drops off, and I said, well, listen, I went across 62nd, and it's on 64th. I said, to get in front of the place, I have to go around the 66th and come back down
53rd.
Why do you be driving all around? And then suddenly I looked at her. I'm sorry, what'd you say? She goes, that's okay, that's okay. And then the guy goes, you shouldn't get mad at her. She's a woman. You shouldn't get mad at her.
I just want to jump in here. I would have told the guy that there's a pizza joint on 26th Street and 6th Avenue where you get a buck a slice, you know.
Yeah. So, I, like I said, this guy was like disheveled, and she had a nice little dress on, but it was funny the way she went for all of a sudden she dropped the whole, like, Ivy League routine, and she went straight on me because I missed Danielle by like two blocks because I couldn't find it in the book. And then, when she went straight on me, I said, listen, don't, I told her, I said, I can't get yelled at for $6 on the meter. I said, listen, I can't be talked to like this for $6. I mean, that's why I like working. That's why I'm JFK Mike on the show. You can yell at me. You can stick my head in the toilet and flush if I got $70 or $80 on the meter. If I got $5 or $6 on the meter, please, you can't yell at me if I'm charging you the same as the, you know. And I told her, I said, look, I'm turning the meter off. And I'm like, what? Where are you going? Why you be driving all around? So I'll let the audience throw their own boots from that. So then he's like, so we started arguing, and then he goes, you can't talk to her. You have to treat her with respect. So I said, oh, treat her with respect? Okay, I'm sorry, sir. There's Danielle. Have a nice time. And they went in. They didn't look at the price on the wall. Because if they would have looked at the price on the wall before entering Danielle, I think the guy would have dropped dead of a heart attack right there. But I'm sure they sat down and had a nice dinner, and now he's a little bit older and wiser. But the whole way over there, I was trying to give him like a wink and a wave and a, you know, oh, by the way, just want to say, Daniel, the food is great, and if you want to do like a little thing with advertising on the website, we'd love to have you aboard.
Okay, all right.
That's my menu.
But the menu's in the window, right? So you know when you walk in there, you're going to spend a few hundred bucks for a Coke, you know, whatever it is.
Yes, and dinner for two is They got the best chefs in the world in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's like a Michelin restaurant. And I don't know.
Well, look, you know, there are people that can afford that. You know, there are. All right. And yeah. and if there weren't, nobody would walk into the place. Right. So, you know, it is what it is. But when it comes to taxi cabs, you know, people have a right to know what they're going to spend before they get in the cab.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it used to, it was that way for, like 75 years. Everybody saw the rates on the side, and I love the rates on the side because all of a sudden say, listen, how much does it cost? It's by the meter. Boom, that's all. How much does it cost to go to the Bronx? It's by the meter. How much does it cost to go to Upper Side? It's by the meter. So then you can say, in my estimation, it'll be blah, blah, blah. So they can see waiting time. They can see this. And I think this is another one of those inside track deals where the Uberians have wormed their way into even having something as simple as the rates on the side of the door. And I'm just wondering, I got to do some homework and find out when that was repealed with this dopey T logo. Now, there's still room for that dopey T logo on another door in the cab, or on the back of the cab, or on the back trunk of the cab or something, and put the rates back. That's one thing, little bit is nothing I can do can do for us. Put the rates on the side of the door. Put the rates on the side of the door and resign tomorrow. That's what you can do.
The rates should be somewhere on the taxi in Miami, right? I've been to Miami a few times. They don't actually have them on the door. They have them in between the door and the rear window. Okay?
Uh-huh.
But they're on both sides of the car. Okay?
Right.
And before you get into a taxi in Miami, you see the rates. Okay?
Yeah.
So they should be visible from somewhere on the outside. Okay? And there should be not only the rates, there should be the flat rate for for the JFK, okay?
Right.
And the surcharges should be there, okay? Everything.
Sure.
Everything should be on the taxi, somewhere visible, okay? Be it the back door, the front door, okay? You know, they don't have to see the letter T because everyone knows it's a taxi. I mean, what is it, the secret?
Now that would generate business and it would help business. And two other things. I'd like to get on board with there's nothing I can do routine over at the so-called leadership of the TLC.
Yeah.
We have to start charging for luggage with the van cabs. If you go out and pay the expense of getting a handicap accessible van or a wheelchair accessible van and have a van, even to have a regular van versus like a Prius, these people come into Kennedy Airport, they're putting elephants in the back of these cabs. They're stuffing it with luggage.
Yeah.
A lot of these deadbeats don't tip. They make believe they don't know about tipping. Everybody knows about tipping. So
yeah.
I see a guy in front of me with a Prius getting a kid with a knapsack getting the same money as me getting 50 bags of concrete being thrown in the back of a van. So there has to be something where, look, if you're going to fill up the van to the brim, there has to be a $10 surcharge for luggage or $5 something.
How about this idea? Luggage, the first two reasonably sized pieces are free, and then a charge after that.
Thank you. Something,
okay.
or per piece or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Okay.
Now the last thing is, that, and on top of that, last part of my rant, I should say, but effective rant for a change, is you have to be able to let the cab driver get paid in advance for longer fares. All right, cabbies are starting to get stiffed right and left because the cash economy is shrinking and the people who don't have debit cards and credit cards invariably, I hate to say it, a lot of them are stiffs. Okay, so they're coming into cabs, they're going to the Bronx, and all of a sudden you get at the end of the trip, why did you go this way? Why didn't you go that way? And even if the cabbie says, okay, I'll tell you what, give me X amount of dollars, that's it. They still argue, so they want to get out totally free.
They have no intention of paying from the get-go.
Right, and like I said, so you got to say, like, listen, I got to get a deposit, I got to get money up front, and you got to prove your credit card is good. We have the technology where you can at least see if the credit card is good without pay. You can check the credit card in advance, all right? Because right now, McDonald's gets paid in advance, the bus gets paid in advance, the train, the MTA gets paid in advance, the airplane gets paid in advance. You don't get an apartment unless you put a deposit. So it's time for the yellow cab drivers to be legally allowed to request a deposit. I mean, somebody, if you want to give the guy a break and say, oh, okay, well, you know, this one, but legally be able to request a deposit on fares that you know are going to be over $20, because right now it's getting ridiculous. And I've had a few people one last thing on top of the last thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people coming in from Kennedy Airport, and let's say it's not the usual suspects you would think are ripping off cab drivers. It's some of the college kids. And what they do is they come in from Kennedy Airport, and in the second you go out, as they're running their credit card, the second you go out to take their luggage out of the back, their little way of saying thank you is flipping the credit card charge to cash. And you haven't gotten the cash because they say they're paying with a credit card. And as you're doing the chivalrous thing of helping to get their luggage out of the back, they're flipping the credit card charge to cash, pushing it like it's a charge, and then taking the luggage and saying goodbye and running to the door.
Mm-hmm.
That's happened to me twice in the last 6 months. So there's a lot of, pardon the French, a lot of bullshit going on the streets that wasn't there before. And we started helping the cabbies. Those three things, charging for luggage at JFK and LaGuardia for lots of luggage, getting paid in advance and putting the rates on the door. Hey, wouldn't you say that would almost be the same as the fare increase right there?
Well, it would increase the fare. It has to be an oil fare increase, you know, for everything. Okay.
Right.
All right.
Right.
And I just want to say, you know, that there are people that plot about stiffing the cabbie. Okay, it's happened to me, you know, and it didn't happen to me a lot of times, but I haven't driven in 5 years now, okay, and
lucky you,
yeah, but I just one instance, I want to tell you about there used to be a, I don't know if it's still there, on 12th Avenue, and I believe it was 27th Street, or 28th Street. Okay, there was this all-night,
right,
party place, okay? Okay, you were at this place?
Oh, the garage. Was it the garage?
I don't
was
know.
Was it
what
the Paradise Garage?
Yeah, whatever. All I know is that, every so-called hipster, in the city wanted to go there, okay?
Okay.
And I once picked up four young ladies, okay, and took them to Bruckner Boulevard and 161st Street, right across from Yankee Stadium, okay?
Yeah.
And when we arrived there, all four got out of the cab and just walked across the street. As if to say...
Not even ran.
Right, they didn't even run. They just walked across the street as if to say, come after us. You know?
Yeah.
Like, we dare you. All right? And I just said...
Yeah.
All right. If that's the way it is, that's the way it is. Okay.
And did you run them over?
No, I just turned around and went back to Manhattan, because I knew I was beat, and I wasn't getting out of the car, because my life is worth more than the $14, $16 that were on the meter. Okay.
You know, in that situation, I always say to myself, what would a guy in their world do to them if they tried to do that to him? You know what I'm saying? Like, what would one of the hood rats do if they tried walking out on him for $20? You know what he'd do?
Well,
I can't even say on the phone what he would do.
Mike, let's just give some advice here to cab drivers when these things happen. No amount of money is worth fighting over. Okay?
What?
No amount of money is worth fighting for. Or worth...
This coming from you.
This is what you're telling me. That's right. There are a lot of crazy people out there, and if somebody's crazy enough to run out on the fare, don't go after them. Forget it.
We're wired differently.
No, you're not getting the money, number one. Number two, you're only asking for more trouble. Okay?
Well, that's the other thing. That's one thing you can do is, now that we have cell phones, you can at least take a picture. And I don't know what the legalese is of that.
What are you going to do? Go through making charges and wasting your time with this? You know, forget it.
Well, you could give a heads up to the other cabbies. I mean, that would be a great idea.
Yeah, well, the other cabbies if it happens in the numbers that you're describing, it's happened to the other cabbies. So they should know that too. All right? I mean, it's not like you're going to get these people and put them in a lineup. Right, and the police are going to say, was that the one? Was that no? This is just. It's not even larceny. It's just. I don't know what the charge would be. Theft of services.
It's theft. They're yeah. criminal.
It,
they're
it's criminal. Theft of services, and it's not a major crime, okay?
Okay.
All right. The police.
You know what they should do? We gotta bring back the orange. Yeah. We gotta bring back the orange jumpsuit for road cleaning. All right. That would be the perfect sentence for idiots like that. I mean, we gotta bring back the orange jumpsuit and put them on the highways and say, listen. You're not going to get jailed.
Mike,
you need community
Mike,
service. You've got to clean the
right.
roads
but
for the
Mike,
cab drivers.
Mike, what are you going to have to go through as the one that was, assailed on, right? Okay, what are you going to have to go through to get these people to justice? It isn't worth it. It just isn't worth it.
It depends on,
okay?
depends on what they did, obviously.
Well, they beat you for the fear. That's it. That's what they did.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, so what do
well,
you?
They should cut my grass. They should ask for sure, get four.
Yeah, but what are you going to have to go through to get them to get a court to order them to cut your grass?
I don't know. I'll find out.
No, you're going to have them arrested. You're going to have them charged. You're going to have to go to court and state your case in front of a judge. Time. You're wasting with this. You know, regardless of what you say, 99% of your passengers, even greater percentage than that, are not going to do that to you.
Yeah.
Okay? So what I'm saying is let these people do it to somebody. Sooner or later, they will be caught for some bigger crime. Okay?
Well, that's the other. I mean, what it all comes back to is the core thing here is you got to let the cabbies get deposits. I mean, every other transportation service in America gets the money up front. And I don't know why we haven't addressed this. I know if you're going out of town, it says a rate to be decided between the cab driver and the passenger. Part of that rate to be decided, in my book, has always been the money up front. And that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But we have to, I mean, this is again with a TOC chairperson. No, she doesn't want to do anything. She just sits there. What does she do?
Okay, so what,
I mean,
what
I know
can
she
you,
gets paid.
All right, so what can you do to get paid up front? Okay, I mean, what can you do to get paid up front? You know, under what circumstances do you need to get paid up front?
I would say at the discretion of the driver. I mean, you don't want to have a driver, let's say, in a $5 ride, saying, I need the money up front. No.
Well,
it's some common sense. Like if a guy's going to Kennedy Airport, he looks sketchy. Say, listen, I got to see $50.
Let me ask you this. Do you do it by destination? Or distance, where they're going, okay? Or do you do it by the way they look? You know, because there are a lot of people out there that will start crying racist. You know, guy.
I'm
a black guy, so he wanted the money up front, you know?
I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I would say you would make it a set dollar a month. Say all fares, driver has the right to ask for payment in advance on all fares. That's it. The end. Not going to ask for payment in advance on some fares. It would be like, don't want the aggravation.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, this leads to another thing, okay? Let me ask you this, all right? You know, I hear from time to time, some black guy gets passed up like Al Roker. Okay, and he starts screaming, racist. You know, they never stop for me because I'm black, which is such BS, okay? Yeah. I mean, if I got a full bladder on me, you know, and I desperately got to go to the toilet and I'm stuck in traffic in Midtown somewhere, I don't care what color you are, I'm passing you up, all right? Okay,
right. So you don't want to pee in your, because you don't want to piss all over the front seat.
When you gotta go, you gotta go, or maybe something's going on. Maybe something is going on with you that you gotta take a break. All right,
exactly.
You know, and these people start screaming, "Oh, he didn't stop for me because he's black. They never stop for me because I'm black." You know, that's complete nonsense. You know, and every time I hear somebody crying that. You know, I want to say to them, what's wrong with you? How do you know he didn't stop you because he's black? Did he put up a sign that says, no black people? You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
the last time I had that nice little conversation, I think it was on 17th Street and 10th Avenue at about 4 o'clock in the morning. I was going home. I was tired. I couldn't keep my eyes open. And that's a very good reason not to pick people up. If you're a cab driver and you can't keep your eyes open.
That's, right.
That's a good reason not to pick people up, okay?
That's
and,
right.
There's one guy comes over, and I had I had logged off, and he comes over from the club staggering over, smelling like booze, sweating. He had, like, the gangster thing with his pants down around his knees, and his ass filled with sweat, comes over to me and goes, "Hey," knocks on the door, "bop, bop, bop. I got to go uptown." I said, "No, listen, I'm not working." He said, "What do you mean you're not working? MF, what do you mean you're not working? You're racist, MF." I said, "Look, go away." I said, "Listen," I said, and as I pulled away, I said, "Listen, and by the way, pull your pants up. You look like an idiot."
But
that was a racism. Yeah. That was just a fat slob with his pants hanging down. I didn't want him to, like, funkify the back seat.
I know, but my point is this.
With ass crack droops on my back seat.
My point is this, you know that there are times when you can't stop for people, and there are many reasons that you won't stop for anybody, you know, regardless of their race, anything, okay?
Yeah.
And I personally, and I know that most taxi drivers stop for all races or, you know, whatever, okay?
Who's driving the cabs? Take a look at who's driving the cabs. That's all I say.
Well,
who's driving the cabs?
I know, but you know, and then the news people pick this stuff up and they put it in the newspapers, and you know, and
right.
You know, and then the TLC says we won't tolerate that, you know, and you know, I mean, give the guy his day in court at least, you know.
Yeah.
Why didn't you stop for Al Roker? Why didn't you stop for Al Roker? You know, well, he went up the next block and picked up a white guy, and is that true? Do we know that's true? You know. I mean,
we don't. And the other thing was that there was a guy. He was a guy of color himself. I think he was a Pakistani guy,
yeah,
from the Indian continent.
I know,
or Bengi or something. And all of a sudden, he's a racist. What do you mean the racist? He's darker than you, Al.
Well, I would like, if nothing else, I would like to see the newspapers not publish these things until after the court hearing.
Well, this is what's happening now. Everything is, you know, hype and scandal and da da da. It's like, let's get the conviction first, then you get to, and you know, the one thing I think this cabbie, sadly, who was allegedly passed on Al Roker, I think he pleaded guilty because I don't think he knew the ramifications of pleading guilty to a civil rights accusation.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
I don't know how that worked out.
It happened again recently to somebody else, and I don't remember who it was. Okay, but you know, it's like, it's not true. It's not true. Okay? Cab drivers in New York City do not pass you up because of your race. Okay?
And I'm not saying for the people out there also. Well, one thing.
Yeah.
They can look at the GPS. They can look at where we pick up people or where we drop off people. It proves once and for all with the GPS technology how many times we drop off people in the Bronx and in Brooklyn and in Queens and in bad parts of Manhattan by the GPS. At 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, in the middle of the day, and it proves how much BS there is. And I go to the people at TLC and say, listen, how many of those people have driven a cab? How many people have driven a cab and dropped someone off in the Bronx at 4 o'clock in the morning? I'm guessing zero have done that. So don't blame the cabbies for trying to survive. And it would alleviate a lot of that nonsense allegation if you just had the people, like, uniformly, a rule for the cabbies, that all fares must be paid in advance at the discretion. You know, it's just have it out there, all right? The cabbie doesn't have to ask for a deposit. You know, the guy looks okay, he's not going to ask. But if the guy looks a little sketchy and he wants to go on a $100 cab ride, say, listen, pal, I got to see some money. And I've had that conversation a couple of times where someone was tipsy or drunk or whatever. I say, listen, I'm not going up there until you don't even have to give me the money. I just want to see that you have it. And it's like, what are you talking about? I don't know. My brother's going to pay me when we get. Don't worry. Everybody out of those. Listen, I have to see that you can pay. If you can't pay, you're drunk. Get out. That's all. Anyway, what else we got?
That's about it. Okay. You know, what do you got?
By the way, what's the story with the medallion leasing price? Are owners getting more money now that it's busier, or are they getting less money? Or how's that working?
I think
the medallion on a... Yeah, dear Valerie Medallion owner.
Look, don't jinx me.
Okay, I guess that's the answer.
Yeah, all right. You know, I'm getting little enough as it is, and I'm hoping now that the medallions are going to regain some of their value, that price will go up.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
The Dear Valiant Medallion owner, not all the cabs are going out, and it's very busy. Unfortunately, you have to lower your medallion lease.
Look, it all has to do with drivers, Mike. It all has to do with drivers.
If the cabs are going out. They got a lot of drivers. It's very busy.
All right. Well, you know, and then we got to get some of these medallions that are on the shelf, off the shelf. Okay.
Right.
And, you know, that will happen. Okay. You know, look. Well, the future looks good. Just read this article in the New York Post, which you can need. It's the 14th, yesterday, Saturday. It's in that paper, right. or go to NYC Taxi News and you can read the article there. Okay, or just go online and Google New York Post Taxi. Okay, and you know, Taxi Medallion, and you'll read the article. And basically, the New York Post, a paper that doesn't really always favor yellow cabs, okay, is printing this article, okay, you know, because it's true, all right? All the news that's fit to print, that's the New York Times saying, but, you know, this article was fit to print, and they printed it, and basically what they're saying is things are going to get better, okay?
Things are better.
Yeah, so, you know, and look, we have a few heroes amongst us. You know, those that went down to the city council and pled their case, okay? And Adonis Rodriguez, he's one of our heroes, okay? He's running for the city council speaker, okay? Uh-huh. You know, I hope he makes it. I would love to see him become the speaker of the city council, okay?
Yeah.
And perhaps the mayor is behind us now. You know, he's been behind us. He's just been afraid to act, I think. Okay, but, you know, the election will be over soon, a few more weeks, right? And once he gets reelected, you know, maybe he'll stand up to that other guy in Albany, you know, Mario's son.
Oh, what's his name, you know?
Yeah, well, Mario's son, I'll call him that, okay? But unfortunately, it's not Mario, okay?
Well, how many years have the Cuomos run New York State from the governor's office? I mean, years?
Well, you know, there was Cuomo, Mario for, I think, three terms, okay? But then there was Pataki, and then there was Elliot Spitzer, right, who...
Yeah, and there was the guy who got caught with his pants down.
Yeah, Spitzer right. And then there was the guy that took over, the guy from Harlem, the blind guy, what's his name?
Oh, I did a couple of shows with him back in the day.
I can't even remember his name, right? And then Cuomo got elected, okay? You know, Mario's son, okay?
Right.
Okay, and, you know, I don't know what his thing is with Uber, but, you know, Uber must have scratched his back a little bit. I don't know what it is, all right?
I think they scratched a lot more than that, but... The other thing... What happened with Cuomo, I think, he got in the jackpot. It was a panic move because he had this summer of hell where they had to fix the Long Island Railroad, had to fix the Metro North, and blah, blah, blah. So he was desperate for any kind of car to transport people around while these trains got fixed. Okay, so now these trains are fixed. And one more thing. He also raised the minimum wage to $10 or $11 an hour, which basically made it difficult for minimum wage people to find jobs. So they had to get something for these people floundering around with no income coming in. So Uber, I think, was because he raised the minimum wage people and it basically decimated a lot of minimum wage jobs. So he needed these people to still get their little $50 a day doing something. Mm-hmm. And then also with the mass transit disaster, he didn't know what to do. So Uber came in like this white knight. And basically now they're realizing that it was a mess to be, and now it is. I've been interrupting you and squashing you.
No, that's okay. It's okay. What I'm trying to say is now that the election will be over, that perhaps our mayor, what's his name? De Blasio, right. Okay.
De Blasio, yeah.
Yeah, right. We'll step it up and help put things back in order. His biggest problem is that nobody could move in Manhattan on the streets, okay?
Right.
And everybody
and
knows
ambulances,
it.
And ambulances,
right,
too.
Right. And everybody knows it, and everybody knows why. Okay?
Yeah.
So
the dirty little secret, yes.
Yeah, right. So perhaps now he won't be afraid of the governor when he came running down in 2015, you know, when they were about to cap the Ubers, and he sort of say, "No, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. I'm the governor. I'm the governor. You know, I'm the governor."
Right.
You know, and
well,
you know,
go ahead. That's one thing that Chairperson Yoshi could do. She
yeah.
could raise the driver standards for Uber. She could raise the driver standards to the point where, you know, she goes, "Oh, Bill Degert can do this." Everything you can do. You can go
yeah.
up in front and do the talk shows Saturday morning, and talk shows here and news articles, and
yeah.
go up to Albany. She doesn't do anything. I'm just wondering
yeah.
what is it that she does? I'm just curious.
Well, you said that before, so let's just see what she does in the next couple of months coming up. All right, and let's see what the city council does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, things, just when you think things might be getting worse, I think they're going to be getting better. Okay?
They are going to be getting better. And
okay.
I'm glad the auction of the medallions got grabbed, I think, by a few of the big boys or
yeah.
big girls, in this case
yeah.
may be. And so they will now find a way to increase their investments, and we will all hitch our wagon to that little train to see if a rising tide raises all boats, so to speak. And I'm sure you're agreeing with that.
I do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, it was a great show. You are the MVP, the most valuable player of the cab crisis when we were attacked by the Uber mess and the Uber idiots who thought it was going to be great and now it stinks.
Okay.
And I want to thank you for that, for doing the yeoman's work, creating this little website, and getting Mike and Abe into the real world.
Yeah,
you did a great
okay.
job. Bravo,
okay.
bravo.
And let's just say that everyone should visit our sponsors. Okay, people that help us stay online.
Oh yeah, you want to rattle them off? Let's do the rattle.
Well, MTBOT. Okay. Checker Taxi, WB
right.
Taxi, Peter Joseph, Taxi CPA,
right.
and now we have a new one
right.
on board, Lacus. All right, so visit these ads, check out their websites, okay, and give them some business, everyone. Okay.
And I just want to tell the people here in
yeah.
the our audience, to all our fans, and we have fans. That's great. And
yeah.
If you Abe has made it so that if you click on the advertisement, it'll go direct into their website. I guess
that's
you
right.
can do that. Right?
Yes, that's true. Yes, every one of these ads have a website.
Very
yeah, yeah. Okay, so goodbye, everybody. We'll see you again next
All right,
week.
Goodbye, everybody. It was
okay.
a great show, and thank you for listening, and thank you for your steady support of this website. We're looking at the hit counter on the bottom. It's on the moon now. We're
yeah.
doing over. I think 15,000 real views per month, which
well,
is
close
insane.
To it, Mike. Close to it. Maybe not quite
yeah.
that much, but close to it. Okay. Right now yeah, we're at.
Hold on.
Let me just see. Right now, we are at 269,000, almost 270,000 views. Okay, and most of those views came in the last 13 months. Okay.
Right.
All right.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, it builds all the time, okay? And if you want to advertise with us, give us a call, 516-447-0953, or just shoot us an email at nyctaxinews@aol.com. So goodbye, everyone,
That's
and
it.
We'll see you next week.
Yep.
And Mike, yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Yep. Okay, and I was going to say, again, thank you very much, and we'll see you next week, and thank you again for all your support, and we got the big season coming up October, November, and December. And if you guys got cabs sitting, you got rocks in your head if you don't try and get those cabs out, because it's October, November, December. The cabbies are coming back to the yellow cabs. And the passengers and our customers are coming back too. So thank you very much for that. Abe, you're doing a great job. Thank you very much.